Penguin Random House Audio presents The Paragon Hotel by Lindsay Fay. Read for you by January Lavoie. No free Negro or mulatto, not residing in this state at the time of the adoption of this Constitution, shall come, reside, or be within this state, or hold any real estate, or make any contracts, or maintain any suit therein. And the Legislative Assembly shall provide by penal laws for the removal by public officers of all such Negroes and mulattoes, and for their effectual exclusion from the state, and for the punishment of the persons who shall bring them into the state, or employ, or harbor them. Oregon State Constitution, Article 1, Section 35, 1857. The Negro and Mulatto section of Oregon's Constitution was technically repealed in 1926, but was only later amended to remove all antiquated racial language in November of the year 2002. The vote was 867,901 in favor of modernizing it, and 352,027 against. Prologue. You're supposing that you hold in your hands a manuscript, a true story I knitted into a fable, tinted with my own brushes, chiseled tappity-tap until its rough edges were erased and nothing but clean, smooth autobiography remained. You're entirely wrong, dearest. This isn't a book at all. I'm scratching out this first bit last, and you just shuffled past me into the kitchen, yawning, giving me the gimlet eye routine. You're ever so good at it, but it doesn't work on yours very truly. And after you've poured yourself some coffee and refilled my chipped brown cup, you'll ghost your hands over my shoulders and try craftier means of wheedling it out of me. What exactly I've been working on all this while? Well, you may proverbially put up your shoes and kick off your heels and save yourself the botheration. I'm giving this to you tied up with a pretty twine bow later tonight. I stepped outside very early while you were still sleeping, sprawled out and snoring and safe, or as safe as we can ever be again, in the tidy little home we've made together. There was enough wind sliding down the brown hills to ruffle my hair, and a scrub jay flashed its wings, pure blue against California porcelain dawn, high above my head. And for the first time, I allowed myself to believe that we can actually get away with it. We can live like this. Not here, necessarily. Christ knows I'm well aware the need to skedaddle could descend at any time, but this morning I knew. We'll figure it out. The pair of us. Parts of this will disturb you. Whether it'll be the parts you were a part of, so to speak, or the parts that are new, well, I suppose I'll just ask after you're finished reading. I can imagine your mug as you devour this, impatiently turning pages, orderly at first because you're awfully orderly, and then papers scattered higgledy-piggledy all over the hardwood. I might leave for most of that. Walk to the equestrian supply store a few miles down the road, the one we discovered lightning fast, remember, with its little door behind the racks of leather chaps and the speakeasy beyond with the barkeep whose mustache makes him look so wonderfully tragic. Like he lost his one true soulmate years ago, and that soulmate was a devoted sheepdog. I'll sip whiskey. It's good here in San Jose, the contraband, I know you agree, and try to get him to admit he's wrestled grizzlies. Leaving you to yourself while you read this story that isn't exactly a story. Because you mustn't think of it that way. Promise me you won't. It's not a book. This was never a book. This is a love letter. 1. Now. New York probably is infested with as savage a horde of cutthroats, rats, treacherous gunmen, and racketeers as ever swarmed upon a rich and supine principality. Stanley Walker, The Nightclub Era, 1933. Sitting against the pillows of a Pullman sleeper, bones clacking like the pistons of the metal beast speeding me westward, I wonder if I'm going to die. The walls of my vibrating coffin are polished mahogany, windows spotless, reflecting onyx midnight presently. I've been watching them for several days. When I wasn't switching trains, which was its own jostling hell and doesn't bear repeating. Does Salt Lake City ever bear repeating, really? I don't even suppose I took the fastest route cross-country, so long as I was always moving. I remember fleeing New York, still adrift with the shock, battling sucking currents of lost love and lost city dragging me under. Changing at Chicago, I remember, the hustle, the weight of all that metal, the sheer rank sweat of making the connection. I recall prim forests, sloping hills, downy wheat tufts, crops we tore through like an iron bomb, and desolate empty skies. Big burgs, shabby shacks, towns undeserving of the word, all blurring into America. But at night it's been the black window, the white alcove curtain, smells of cigarettes and pot roast and cold cream, and the fever slick coating my brow, confirming that I'm going to die. I'm in shock, possibly. Despair, certainly. Now it hits me in a crack of panic that I'd prefer death drop by when I'm 90 and not 25, supposing it's all the same to the Harding administration. Panting, I tug at my hair. The sudden flare momentarily douses the fire in other locales. I wonder when my bunkmate will return to torment me. I wouldn't have taken a sleeping car if I hadn't been forced. Acquaintances are dangerous. They pour over your mug out of sheer boredom, make remarks like, "God, isn't our porter just dreadful? These sheets are barely tucked in." They don't give a knotted cherry stem what you think of the porter. They can't really see him anyhow. No, they hanker to watch you react to them. Then they can journal it, whether you're haughty or humble or hateful. Whether you're all right. Whether you're not all right, which is ever so much more interesting. Dangerous, what with death and dismemberment potentially in hot pursuit. I couldn't go full-scale deluxe, though. A private car would have been checked first by someone searching this train. Any cadet axeman would chart the same course. Private cars, sleeping cars, then public seating. Maybe I ought to lend a hand to the brakeman, trade a few dirty jokes in exchange for a hiding place. If only I could dangle from the undercarriage like a bat. The bullet wound, deposited in Harlem, started reaping interest in Chicago, and now we're well past Walla Walla and it's aiming to make me a swell payout. Last time I staggered to the facilities, it looked like a volcano had erupted, crusted reds and blacks. Now it's eating me alive. I can't sit up in a public car. Has to be a sleeper. Has to be this one. I leaped on this connecting train in Denver like an outlaw onto the town's last nag. My heart isn't beating. It's clenching its fist at me. Clamp clinch. Clutch grip. Beastly. Tears keep welling up and my throat keeps closing and no, I say. You're called nobody for a reason. Just be yourself. Be nobody. Be nobody and breathe. Having died before, I ought to be more sanguine over the prospect. I first died 6 days ago at the murder stable when Officer Harry Chipchase hustled me out of that gruesome dungeon, snapping, "Run, kid!" But I, damn it, nobody, hitch a ride to the moon. You're dead to this town now, you hear? Harry was always dour, but I'd never seen his face turned the color of molding cheese previous.
I swear to you, I'll find a body somewheres. Trust me, kid.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?